When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to The Other Block, episode 5 of Quarantine. I'm Jared, and joining me via the Sony Ericsson Walkman and some ridiculously large headphones, we've got Kisby.
Good evening.
And if by magic, Jim, he's back. Hello, Jim.
Hi.
And we're delighted to be joined by posh co-owner for the second time, Jason Neal, all the way from Canada. How are you, Jason?
Hi, guys. Great to be here and looking forward to the show.
How have we all been keeping occupied in quarantine? Are you still busy, Jason? Are you working from home?
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky that my largest business is able to operate fully from home, which is great.
Well, we've took your advice and we're using an app tonight called Zoom. We've all just got to grips with Skype, but audio quality seems good. We can all see each other, which I'm not sure is a good thing. After you've, Jason has ridiculed my wife's wallpaper. You were meant to be coming on at the end of the season, but we didn't want to wait till 2032. Obviously, you'd like the season to be finished, but do you think it will happen? Do you think the season will conclude?
Well, I think we've got three options, and that a lot of factors play into those three options. I mean, obviously, the season could be cancelled. We could play behind closed doors, or we could resume. I personally think there's going to be a big push to finish the season for a number of reasons. Not just, you know, the revenue reasons, but also the fact that, you know, the fairness level. Clubs that might anticipate or might think they've got a really good chance of getting promoted are going to be pretty devastated in the event that that chance is taken away from them. And obviously, Peterborough is one of those clubs. If I had to select from one of those options, I think we'll play behind closed doors for the rest of the season.
I think that's probably a given now, that's how it's going to come back. I don't think there's any chance of it suddenly coming back as what we consider to be normal football, probably within 12 months, I would think. I think we're going to see the coronavirus reappear in stages. We're going to get rid of it, it'll come back, we'll get rid of it, it'll come back. In that, if that is true, if that's what's going to happen, I think it's the last thing that will come back to normality is large sporting gatherings, I think. So I think it will, if it comes back, it will come back first and foremost in a way that is behind closed doors. So I don't think there's much chance of normal football coming back within the next 12 months. I really don't. I can't see how it can.
That would be welcomed at the minute, wouldn't we? Because we've got no live sport, no nothing like that. And to see the season conclude, if that was behind closed doors for me, I know, I'm sure, you know, the club would make it available via iFollow, maybe for season ticket holders, Jason. That's a way you could go around it, I suppose.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to make a premonition on what's going to happen next season. Hopefully, with quick and enhanced testing, we'll be able to really focus on the people that have coronavirus in the future and quarantine those, allowing large gatherings to happen. When that happens, I think it's a really, really good question and almost impossible to answer. So I'd rather focus on what we do for the rest of this season. And certainly we would look to make, if it's possible, the games behind closed doors available to season ticket holders and then maybe charge other people via iFollow. I watch about, I'm only lucky enough to go to about 25% of the games live, which is probably 10, 15% more than my wife would like. But there we go.
You're not being good on the, well, I remember
so
last time
I follow all the time, and I find the quality is pretty good.
I think we've discovered that there are a lot of fans around the world for Peter United. And I think for them, it would actually be a good thing, wouldn't it? It'd actually be better than what it would normally be. It's only for the people who actually, ironically, actually go that wouldn't be quite as good. But I think, like we've said, you know, once or twice, we're all behind anything that LA enables our club to still be there in 12 months. You know, no fan would ever go against that. And you have to make sacrifices, don't you? You know, sometimes it's just a little sacrifice, sometimes it's going to be a big sacrifice. But we all want to continue having a club in 12 months' time, 18 months' time, 6 months' time, whatever it is. So fans will be behind that. It will grumble, of course we will. On the first podcast back after that, I'll be moaning about it. But you know, you understand, don't you, that you have to give up these things for the club. Mm. So that's just how it is.
What effect has this had on the business as, you know, the United Football Club?
Well, first and foremost, we run the club like a business, and you know, that's often greeted with groans and moans. But certainly at times like this, I think it's really important. So we've naturally lost revenues as a result of games not happening. I will say great shout out to the people that have renewed season tickets for next season. We've actually had near 1,200 season tickets renewed, and they're still getting renewed for next season. So we're really grateful for that, and we encourage fans to keep renewing season tickets for the coming year. And right now it's about managing costs as best as we can. And just making sure that we have sufficient runway for the business to get us through to the next season, whenever that is.
I think teams are beginning to furlough people, aren't they? So is that something that we were going to look into? I've never heard of the word furlough before. About
I thought it was a horse racing term.
That's furlong.
How is it?
Yeah, so we are actually furloughing the non-essential, non-playing staff. What we've said to those people,
I was very tempted to say Christy Pym there, but I'm not going to.
Don't go there, Matt.
I love Christy Pym, so I don't know what you're saying, but the non-playing staff that effectively run the business, many of those are being furloughed. But it's important to note that unlike other clubs, we have elected to ensure that they receive 100% of their compensation. So rather than saying, OK, we want you to take a wage cut, we're actually saying, OK, we're going to tap into this scheme, the government scheme, and then we're going to top it up out of the club so that someone who is unfortunate enough to not really have a current job because there is no need for them, it could be in the catering department or something like that, can enjoy an endless stream of Netflix at home and Amazon Prime and various other formats whilst not having to worry about how they're going to pay their bills.
So can you see football league clubs going out of business because of this?
I think that's an inevitability, yeah. A lot of clubs are not perhaps as well financed or run on more of a shoestring week to week, and it's difficult to see how one or more of those can't fail in the current.
It'd be such a shame to see that happen. When it's nobody's fault. This is nobody's
fault. It'll be a real shame. Whilst we are competitors between 3 and 5 o'clock on a Saturday or in the evenings on a Tuesday or Wednesday, we're all friends outside of that. I have to say, I'm obviously from Southampton, and every time we've played Portsmouth, I've always been amazed at how nice the Portsmouth directors are to me. It's almost annoying because, you know, I'm having to unwind all my previous thoughts to the club. But they're always incredibly professional and nice. So,
are you going to say on this call that you like Portsmouth Football Club? Can we get that out of you?
I'm not going to say I like them, although my wife is a supporter of Portsmouth. So,
Christ.
I'm not going to say I like them, but I will say they have treated me incredibly well.
Happy days. When we announced that you was coming on the show, we got ambushed really with a lot of questions, a lot of them the same questions, which is how will this affect the developments of the new stadium and the plans in place?
Okay, so we have two stadium projects going on. We shouldn't forget the London Road stadium. So maybe we'll address that first. So with respect to that, we've put that on hold for 3 months. We've actually, with the city, negotiated all these agreements. We were actually ready to sign and close on March 31st, so yesterday. But between us and the city, with everything that's happening with coronavirus, we took the decision to just mothball that, if you like, for 3 months, because obviously the city's very busy with what's going on in Peterborough, and we need to focus on making sure the club is in a really strong position when we emerge from coronavirus. Notwithstanding that, we still think there's no reason why it shouldn't happen. And with respect to the new stadium, we're still working on that. Ironically, we were on a call yesterday, a 2-hour presentation from the people leading the architectural design of the stadium, looking at different sites. They came out with a number of sites where the stadium could fit, and our chosen site, and we're going to present that to the city at some point in the future. It probably would be unreasonable to expect it wouldn't be hit with some form of time delay, but I don't think that's going to be that significant in terms of the whole project. So that they're still working possibly at a slower pace because, you know, it's difficult to physically get together and have a planning meeting with Peterborough City Council at this point, not just through travel restrictions, but also because they're incredibly busy.
Is it set in stone with the embankment? Or I know there was a second option. Is that second option still on the table?
Well, we actually looked at 4 options within a 20-minute bike ride of the centre of Peterborough. I don't know why the planners chose a cycle ride, because I haven't been on the bike in about 30 years. So
I can say your 20 minutes is a lot different to my 20 minutes, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, maybe. And then sites within the boundary of the actual city centre, where you could walk from a train station, for example. And there's one of those, which is our preferred option, which we're going to present to the city. And then there's 3 within the 20-minute cycle route. However, those 3 have significant challenges. So certainly the most logical site is the embankment right next to the university. That's the site right next to the planned university, and that's the site we're pushing for.
And you've been inspired by the stadium in Hungary, haven't you? What impressed you most about that?
What impressed me, 2 things. One is, from a fan perspective, the way it was built with the high pitch it has in terms of seating, that even if it wasn't full, you could imagine an atmosphere was created with a half-full stadium. So whilst we don't want a half-full stadium, it's important to us to imagine that there's going to be there's going to be those cup games potentially that you always come up with a funny name for. So we'll call them the Canada Cup today. We want to maintain some form of atmosphere if we're ever in the Canada Cup again, if we're not promoted this season. And secondly, from a business perspective, because of the way the stadium is constructed, you can put on more than 200 events, business events a year. So those could be everything from mini concerts, exhibitions, jazz, you know, whatever, weddings, a whole array of different activities that can go on. So it becomes more than a football stadium, although its primary use is still a football stadium. Another 200 times a year it's used for something else, and that something else generates revenues for the club.
I think it's good to see that people are still willing to buy season tickets.
Yeah, that
really positive.
That is very positive, and the club is there to help people if they have any issues. We are purchasing a season ticket for next year.
I do hope, Jason, I do hope you've budgeted for some yellow seats for the new stadium.
Yeah, so I've promised you guys yellow seats. I will say that I am getting resistance. Matt. I'm finding we only want four.
Listen,
if it's just four,
even if it's just four,
it doesn't have to be a big block.
Okay. Well, we're gonna do our best.
So we'll have to change your name, and we can't be doing with that. No. You've owned the club for a while now. Any regrets so far?
No, in fact, it's been 2 years. Sometimes it feels like 2 minutes, and sometimes it feels like 20 years. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. There's a lot we've done. In the last season, we had more than 400 new season ticket holders. Because of the schools initiative. And that was at least until the schools are shut down and the enhanced schools initiative this year, and we were on track to get maybe another 400.
I think with the club, I think bringing new blood in, I think it has helped the club develop. And I've noticed over the last couple of years, I think, how the club has gone in slightly new directions and you know, not necessarily better or worse, but it's good to have that those new ideas in, I think. It refreshes people. It makes new goals to aim for. And I think that is a credit. You know, we all like to criticise and complain. I do occasionally. In fact, someone on London Road said I was an old, like, curmudgeon, didn't they, sort of thing. That I'm always
moaning. I'd go along with
and
that.
It was a bit, you know, I put it on just for the podcast. Can I just say that I don't put it on? I am like that all the time. But what I will say is
we're all different. Yes, and one of you, I can't remember which one it is a really real anti-Dembele fan.
That's Matt Kisby. That's the old fella.
In fairness, I was at the start of the season. I thought he was the most disappointing player. Now, I think he's probably not quite as important as Tony.
He's made you look a fool, is what he's done. He's made you look a fool.
I couldn't resist bringing that up.
I'll hold my hand up and say he has done a lot better. he's a much, much, much better player now than he was at the start of the season.
He's unplayable. He is absolutely unplayable at times.
When he's
on form, he's unbelievable.
He's very good. One other thing I was going to say is we're really proud of the Youth Academy, and we think the best is yet to come. This year, there have been, 48% of the games that we've played have had one or more products of our Youth Academy on the pitch, either starting or coming on as a sub. And in fact, there's been 21 games where we've had starting appearances made by graduates of our academy.
We spoke about before how important the academy is going forward to the club. And we started taking more note on the podcast. We did a little youth watch section, and the results they get as well. They do seriously well in the league also, don't they? As well as pushing on, you know, getting minutes within the first team. Regarding the schools initiative, are you happy with how that's gone? It seems to have been quite a good success.
Yeah, so we were on track to visit 150 schools. Throughout this year, I think we got to more than 100, and we were comfortably going to deliver more than 150 schools. I don't know if any of you have ever seen what happens in one of those schools, but it's really quite spectacular. The rabbit and members of our staff.
I know the rabbit's a big star there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not just the rabbit. I mean, they put on a presentation. They show a video of the men's, the women's, and youth team players. Or the kids get to do various activities, and the teachers really join in. I mean, amazed at some of the teachers joining in with this. And then they all get for them and a parent a ticket, and many of them purchase other tickets as well for the game and merchandise and food and beverage, etc. So it's a real positive initiative. The other thing we were doing, which probably didn't get as much press is as part of the school's initiative, is that we were putting on, we had a target of 75 coaching sessions. So our coaches would go into schools and they would coach, they basically take PE. So for a teacher, it's fantastic. You get a couple of Peterborough United coaches to come in and take your PE session. And that was all.
That's brilliant.
Encouraging more attendance.
Because I live within the catchment area, and we had never had anything like that when No, we were growing up within the area, and I'm sure you didn't as well, Kisby. You grew up within the city, and you as well, Jim. So that's progress, isn't it? And if you can get children interested at such a young age, it's only going to be good for the club going forward. Just touching on the women's team, because they were doing really well as well. And I think they've had their league scrubbed, haven't they? So that's a massive shame for them.
Yeah, big shame. I know some of those girls very well. I'm a big supporter of the women's program, primarily because I have a daughter that plays quite high level football in Canada, so I'm naturally in tune with it. But really disappointed for them. I think it's almost certain they were going to win the league. There's very little you can say other than the fact that we're fully behind them. Next season, there will be a viewing area for the women's game. So we've actually put in a 100-person terrace, if you like, or seating area. So we encourage people to actually go along, and rather than look for a barbed wire fence, which is what happens now, you'll be able to actually to watch the game without any obstacles in the way.
Oh, brilliant.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Jimmy, you got a question there?
Yeah, so obviously if we don't play again this season, what's the deal with Tony in terms of will there be time for him to stay, or will he have to go as such to make the money?
Well, we would encourage him to stay. Obviously, he has just over a year left in his contract. So we would encourage him to stay, and we would certainly offer him a contract extension. That being said, much like any business, you don't really want to stand in the way of people growing and getting promoted, in this case, having better level opportunities. So whilst we would offer him a contract for sure, and we would encourage him to stay, it wouldn't be unsurprising if a host of other clubs at a higher level were seeking his services.
It's difficult to plan, isn't it? Because everything's so hypothetical. We're in very much uncharted waters. You cannot plan at all, really, because it's so difficult. This could be over sooner, or it might drag on for a long time, and it's very, very difficult to plan in those and circumstances. It's a very difficult one, really, to call. We don't really know how it's going to pan out. It will be over at some point. That's what you have to remember. And you know, it's what you have to do is try to plan for every eventuality, because one of those eventualities will actually come to fruition, won't it? But it's a difficult one about how to plan long term. And as you say, you have to run it as a business, don't you? Because if you don't, it disappears. Football is a business, even though it's not a business. It's a community thing. If you don't run it as a business, you have nothing. You know, so everything is down to money. And it's a difficult one.
Firstly, I love Ivan Toney. I always have. I think he's a really decent guy, and I spend a little bit of time with him, not much, but certainly a decent guy. If we are promoted, and I still think that's possible, and almost likely that the season will be concluded, albeit behind closed doors. So in the event that it's concluded and we're promoted out of that, which I think we would all five of us on this call would imagine that will probably be the outcome.
Just slightly going off topic, where do you think we would have finished at the end of the season if the season had just continued as it
was going? We will finish second.
Yeah, but if it had finished in a normal way, where do you think we'd have finished? Because I think the sort of consensus with us lot is we might have nicked second place. We could have possibly even had a 0.1 chance of actually winning the league. Where do you think?
Well, I for a long time thought we were going to win the league. Coventry then went on a very good spell. We still have to play Coventry away.
Yeah,
as part as one of our last nine games. So I think we would have finished in the top two.
And to finish your point, Jason, before kids be interrupted there, you said if he was to be promoted regarding Tony.
Well, if he was to be promoted, if we were promoted, then I think that puts us in a very different position with respect to Ivan. He's now has the opportunity to play championship football for a team that he knows very well, for a manager that has a lot of faith and trust in him. So maybe that changes the picture and it's a much easier sell to get him to sign the contract.
So, obviously, with everything going on as well, obviously lost revenue, are we having to sell in the summer, though, or not?
No, I mean, we're a well-financed, well-run club. We don't anticipate that will be a requirement. I think in part it depends how long this break goes on. And also the outcome of a season, assuming we finish it.
Sunderland Till I Die is out today. I'm not sure if you're aware of it.
Yeah.
Netflix documentary. Would you ever consider, I know we've had it with Big Ron Manager in the past and you've watched that, but would you ever consider a new version, if you like?
Yeah, I've never seen that. I've just heard about that.
You need to get it watched.
Yeah, it's not easy to find. So if any of you can send me the link or post the link, that would be good.
Yeah, we'll send you.
I would love to watch it. I've only ever seen the clip of Barry losing his temper.
That's pretty much what it is throughout the whole episode, to be fair.
That doesn't surprise me. I think we would consider it. And firstly, I do watch Sunderland Till You Die. I'm really looking forward to, I think in the season they recorded, we beat them at London Road, right? And that ended their, pretty much ended their promotion chance, automatic promotion chances. I'm looking forward to watching that game.
That's why I'm not in it. It's not in?
No.
It's not in?
What?
No, it's the only reason why I watched it.
Really? You've watched it all already?
How have you watched it already? It's out today.
Yeah, it's nothing else
today. It came out today.
What, you've watched the whole series?
It's only about 4 hours long.
5 hours?
You've watched five hours of TV.
Nothing else today.
You should come off this call. You're going to have like square arms and have a headache.
But yeah, there's when we went to their place and drew 2-2, it made them look like they beat us. When they didn't, and then they didn't show our draw.
Do you know what, that 2-2 draw away at Sunderland, that was my favourite Ivan Toney goal, that was. I know it wasn't spectacular, but the way he brought the ball down and put it in, that was honestly my favourite finish of his, just on a side note. We've got some listener questions for you, Jason. Lee Lazaretti has said, who do you hate more, Portsmouth or Cambridge?
Well, I don't really hate anybody, so...
Okay, what team do you dislike more, Portsmouth or Cambridge?
Yeah, I don't dislike either of the teams. I think naturally coming from Southampton, I you know, it's a very pleasurable experience when Peterborough beat Portsmouth. And I've seen that twice now, which is been a lot of fun.
14 O'Brien has said, is the stadium plans on hold? We've already answered that. Scott Pears said, have you managed to get around stocking extra large sizes of the replica kit in the club shop next season? That's a question for you.
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Is that a secret question for you, Jared?
No, that is Scott Pears. It's not me. Do you know what? I'm never coming on camera again. I've had my wallpaper slaughtered, my hair, and now I need 3XL posh tops. Thank you very much.
That lampshade is a bit dodgy as well.
The lampshade, I'll have you know, I hit my head on. That's why it's wonky. That's the joys of being my height. David Mann has said, when do you think the season will start again? If you had to make a prediction, it's almost impossible to make. But
yeah, I think we will start behind closed doors in June.
Just a quick side note on that. Would player contracts then be an issue? Because I think some expire at the end of June. Is that right?
I think there's going to have to be an agreement to have them extended.
Extended, yeah.
I think that'll have to be a uniform agreement right across the Premier League and the EFL.
Hannon has asked, I know last summer you were very, very keen to keep Ivan Toney. Were your partners as keen as you, or were you the one unplugging the fax machine?
I was very keen.
In fairness, he's been a much better player this season, hasn't he? No one can say he hasn't progressed this season. He's a much, much better player this season, I think.
Yeah,
I've said many times, at League One level, he is a cheat code. You just don't see strikers like that playing at League One level. He is unbelievable. Isn't he? And that's another one, Kisby. When we had Jason on the show last time, you were slating Ivan Toney a little bit. I know I'm digging you out now, but I'm enjoying it. You slated Ivan Toney. He was on about bad attitude and he looked lazy on the pitch. I mean, I've not made notes or anything, but...
I think he took time to mature. I think seriously. I honestly think this. I think when he came, he was our best striker, but he was in a team which had no strikers at the time. So I didn't think he was a particularly fantastic player at that point, because he wasn't. He has developed into a fantastic player. There's no two ways about that. I think he still can be a little bit petulant, I think, sometimes. And I'm being very critical and very harsh. But it's true that I don't think he'll ever be one of these players that is very, very laid back. He will always have that little edge to him. And a lot of people would argue that he would need that to be the player that he actually is. And if he...
The best players do have that edge, though, don't they?
Mm. Not all. I mean, George Boyd, for example, was always very, very laid back as a player. You know, nothing would get, you know, him riled up. I think with Tony, as you can see from the yellow cards that he was getting, he's got that little edge on him, hasn't he? And I never like to see that with a player. But that's just... He's not the worst player for that by a million miles, to be honest with you. He's just got a little...
Lee Tomlin.
That little edge. Yeah, I mean, Lee Tomlin was a billion times worse, a billion times, you know. But Tony has progressed as a player. You know, he came as a solid player, I thought. No, probably no more than that. And has turned himself into a fantastic player. Maybe our best ever player we've ever had. I mean, I think it's too early to say that. But he is a very... very good player now. So that's so
you've come full circle then. I'm going to put a bet on this time next year we'll do a podcast and you'll say Christy Pym's the best keeper we've ever had.
So you have a reputation, Gisby, of hammering players and then them turning out to be really good for you.
But sometimes sometimes you need to. You need to say it like it is, and I will do. If I think a player's good, I'll say I think they're good. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm right all the time, in fairness.
That's not what you say. You say every week your opinion is right. But there you
Well, to you, I do, yeah. no, so, you know, it's to me, that's what you are as a fan, isn't it? You give your opinion on players, and people that I stand next to, they might have a totally different opinion to me. It doesn't mean that one of us is always going to be right, one of us is always wrong. It's just our opinions. And
mainly players, you are right.
Players, yeah, well, that's true. Players do change over time. Some become very good players after a while, you know. I mean, Craig Mackay-Smith wasn't the greatest player I've ever seen when he came, but by the time he left, he probably was. So players progress, especially if they're young.
Jamie Cook has said, where does Jason think the club will realistically be in 5 years' time, virus aside?
At the top part for the championship.
Oh, that'd be magic, wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic. I'd certainly take that, definitely. Gaz Johnson, we always get a moaner, Jason. You know that. You know posh fans by now. Why are season tickets still priced?
I understand. Well, I used to moan myself about all sorts of things. No problem.
Well, here's a slightly moaning question. Why are season tickets still priced at £439, up 10% on last season?
Well, obviously, we made the decision on pricing before coronavirus was really known or prevalent in the world. We have to balance a number of things when we're selecting the price. We have to balance the fact that there is a single financial fair play, so we have to adhere to that. We also want to ensure that kids under 12 can come for free. We think that's really fundamentally important to continue to grow the fan base. So we wanted to have free tickets for under 12s and discounted tickets thereafter. So I think those are the two reasons, really. It's about living with financial fair play, making sure that we can provide free tickets for under 12s. When making the choice of prices, we also looked at what do our competitors charge. So if you imagine a club within an hour of London, what are they charging? And our prices that we selected were not too inconsistent with those. And also what we're doing in the future, which, you know, naturally has to be paid for. We have a goal to build a new stadium, which we're on a path to. We're also substantially upgrading the academy. So we're becoming a Cat 2 academy, which involves putting in a new dome, hiring other coaches, a lot of other facilities that are going to go into there. And those are not only going to be used by our academy boys and girls, but also by the general community at large. So all of this has to be paid for. And again, we have to live within financial fair play.
If you reduce the prices now, though, you're just putting off those price rises later on, aren't you? And then later on, you'll have to have higher price rises if you want to achieve everything you want to achieve. So I can understand why he asked that question. It probably, to a lot of people, does seem like a sensible question to ask. But I think sometimes you just have to say, well, this is how it's got to be, sort of thing. You can,
if you want more, you need to pay more a lot of the time, don't you? So.
Yeah, but even if you reduce prices now, for example, during the crisis, they will just go up by even more.
Oh, right, okay,
in
yeah.
12 months' time.
Yeah,
so you've got to pay the piper, haven't you, at some point. You know, it's a very difficult one, because if you are about to lose your job or have lost your job, or you think you may be earning less in the next 12 months, you don't want to be paying out for season tickets. But I think it's one of those situations, you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, sort of thing. It's a tricky one.
Just while we're on season tickets, we've had a couple of questions asked regarding the 10-game season ticket. Is that off the table now? Is that not going to be continued this season or next season coming?
We haven't made a decision as of yet. So I think that will be reconsidered once we know when the season will start. And, you know, finish the current season. So we're main focus for the last two or three weeks has been to ensure the business is in a really sound way, and we can survive however long we need to comfortably the coronavirus.
It's a weird time that we're in, isn't it? We talk about, we're on the football podcast and half of it is talking about a virus. It's such a strange situation,
it's true.
Isn't it?
I mean, we've got questions here about players and how they've played, and you almost feel like it's hard to talk about it because it just, none of it feels relevant at the minute, does it? You're more worried about the survival of the club, and it is hard to talk about the football side of it. But James from the Posh Report, I know you listen to the podcast, Jason, but we've just introduced like a feature with him. He's the stat man, if you like. He comes out with some interesting content. He's asked, how do you go about planning for next season? Are there two plans in place? One for League One, one for League Two, for example. Or up to League Two. One for the Championship and one for League One.
And you say I'm negative.
No, that was a typo.
I would think it's mathematically impossible to get relegated. So we don't have a League Two plan. firstly, on the podcast, great job, guys. I think it's really important to keep doing these podcasts. I'm sure it provides a lot of entertainment and fun to the people in a time when they really need it. So I thank you. I, for one, have not listened to the last two, because I always listen to your podcast when I'm flying. It is my in-flight entertainment.
You haven't listened to any of them for a long while.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to reassess in a month whether I'm going to just listen to them all, or whether I'm going to wait until we're able to travel again. And in terms of our plans, we have a plan for both the Championship and League One.
Just touching on your air miles, didn't you receive something from an airline? 1 million miles, was it? 1 million?
Yeah, the funny thing is, I got a phone call from FedEx yesterday saying your package is here. You know, we're at your gate. Can you come and meet us? Because they won't leave anything, and they won't let you sign for anything anymore. You have to bring ID. And I was like, I haven't ordered anything. What is this? And I opened up it. It was a gift from Air Canada, which is kind of ironic, seeing as Air Canada has laid off almost all their staff.
There you are, 1 million miles. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's probably too many.
Owen Howard said, hello, lads. Hope you're well. Have a question for Jason, please. Jason, would you look into signing players who have just finished a football soccer college career in America? Similar to when Posh signed Andrew Fox a year after he graduated from a Division II college team in America. Was that a route you'd go down?
Well, I think we're always open to opportunities like that, or players that are interested in having a trial. So, I mean, if you know a particular player, just ask them to contact the club. And the club regularly do trials for players, you know, just coming out of school as a sort of 18-year-old. So that's not
enough. Fantastic.
It's just difficult to get to the level. There's a level in the US,
exactly, yeah.
Not the same level as it is in the UK.
Another question which just come in. Are the club looking at keeping Sammy Smodic either on loan, extending the loan, or permanently moving forwards?
I think it's something we would certainly look at.
Fantastic player. Absolutely brilliant player.
He's obviously, when we lost Marcus Madison, it was, you know, he naturally, how much of a good player he is, he was always going to leave a void. But we never really noticed it, did we, to be fair, because Smodic's come in and just took the lead by storm. He was absolutely fantastic. Kisby, you didn't complain about Smodic, which was unbelievable.
He was a great player.
I was going to say that whilst we all recognise that Marcus had really good talents and we were sad to lose him, the club had not finished inside the top six for, I think, 6 years. So that's 36 opportunities to finish in the top six that we hadn't grasped with Marcus and the team. So we were convinced that, you know, he wouldn't be, having him or not having him wouldn't make the difference of us being promoted. What would make the difference would be to have a complete team.
I think, in fairness, he was in a team that wasn't great, shall we say. I personally always liked him as a player. I thought he was a very, very good player. I think the replacement we've had in for him, though, is equal, to be honest with you. And I think that's high praise from both, to be honest with you, because I think they were both brilliant players. But we've been lucky to replace him with a very, very, very good player, I think, if not slightly better. And I should imagine he probably doesn't bring the issues that Maddison brought with him as well. Maddison was a good player. He was, but he had other issues that he brought with him, clearly, which made him probably not as popular as he probably should have been at the club, which is understandable. But the player we brought in to replace him is fantastic. There's no two ways about that.
Yeah, I know that Darrow is working really hard to ensure that we have the best possible team for next season, whatever league we're in.
I think it's a better team, as in it works better together as well, I think. Although perhaps the individual players aren't any better, I think as a team, they play much better together, I think. And I should imagine there's quite a good ethos behind that, quite a good esprit de corps almost, that players seem to play together. You know, even Tony, who's, I think, the standout player in our team, he's not one of these players that thinks it's all about him. And I don't think there's any player in our team who thinks it's all about that particular player. I think it's a very good team effort. And, of course, it is a team sport, and that often helps sort of thing. That's why our podcast is so good, because we all get on so well, even though they hate me and abuse me all the time.
You've had barely any abuse on this podcast tonight.
I've had a lot less than normal, that is true.
Question here. Ask Jason what he thinks about our Fergie in, Fergie out meter, which is all very tongue in cheek. But we got 20% Fergie out last week. It's madness. It's not been a game.
I mean, he hasn't lost a game for, I can't remember the last time he lost. How can you contemplate removing a manager that hasn't lost a game? Yeah, I mean, there never has been, or I can't imagine why there would be a question of us replacing Darren.
Do you enjoy working with Darren Ferguson?
Yeah, I think he's great. I think he fits the club's ethos very well. He's a really good coach. As you mentioned earlier, Tony's really improved this year. A number of players have improved this year, which is fundamentally down to him and his team.
I think that's what people forget. A lot of times he has brought players on and developed them a great deal. And I can never understand why people don't think he's quite right for us or whatever. He's proven successful with us, and he's developed players. And to me, what more could you want in a manager? What more? I just don't understand. Never understand. We all like Dan Ferguson, don't we, on this podcast? None of us have ever said anything against him. He plays football in the right way. You know, he's not always going to be successful every single game, every single season. Nobody ever is. But I can never understand why people don't like him. I will always think he's maybe not the greatest manager we've had, but probably, well, almost certainly the second greatest.
Well, he's for me, the greatest manager I've worked with, because I've only worked with two.
We won't go there, Jason. We're not going to go there. Don't worry. We're not going to go there.
What I was going to say is, another thing we really love about Darren is he's very keen on youth. So there's been a fundamental shift in promoting our youth players and trying to get the minutes so that we can grow those players that are fundamentally important to the success of the club, right? Because if we have a prospering youth academy, we have a prospering club.
Absolutely. And like you say, Darren Ferguson's all for that. So we're all big fans of him. And what I always say is to fans who aren't big fans, what success have we had in the last 15 years, 10 years, without Darren Ferguson. It's all been under Darren Ferguson. That answers all the critics for me in one sentence. Feel free, if you don't feel comfortable answering this question, this is the question of the podcast. It comes from Mr. Peter Burrow. He has asked, could you ask Jason what he prefers, carrots, onions or mushy peas?
Yes, I really don't like mushy peas at all. So that's definitely out. Now, how are we doing with carrots and onions? Do I get a choice? Because, I mean, if they're fried onions with mushrooms, I'm kind of partial to those. But if there are steamed carrots with perhaps a roast dinner, I think I'd go with that.
And the carrot's actually sponsored, isn't it? The carrot has got a sponsor.
Yeah, the carrot. And great, you know, shout out to our marketing department who were able to sponsor a carrot.
Well, listen, that's the level we're at the minute. So hopefully once their deal's expired, we're going to go for the carrot. We're all over that. Some correspondence, Kisby?
Yes, we have got some correspondence. Peter Burrow says, you guys are doing a great job. Love listening to them, mate. Keep them coming, please. Hashtag crazy rabbit. Peter Nergard says, just heard you shout out the podcast listeners from different countries. Just wanted to say I'm one of the listeners based in Norway. The work you guys are doing, keep it up. I'll keep enjoying listening to it. But stop talking about avoiding the season. Stop interrupting, Jared. But stop talking about avoiding the season. It has to finish, let's be honest. That's a very popular view, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, and that's aimed at you because you're very negative with that.
No, I just said I think that's what possibly will happen if it's a real long-term 12-month thing. I didn't say that.
We're trying to pick people up, aren't we? We're kind of trying to give the posh fans a little pick-me-up in these early episodes.
I did see a thing on Twitter the other day. Why is everyone worried about wooden this season when next season hasn't even begun or even thought of yet?
I think people a little bit stuck their heads in the sand. A little of people thought it'll be over in a week. It'll be over in 2 weeks. Mm. I think that's what the thinking was. And now I think it's beginning to dawn on people that certainly normality won't be back for quite a long time, and it'll be brought back in stages. So I think that's probably initially why when everyone started to talk about avoiding the season, people thought, well, why do we need to, sort of thing? Because I don't think people quite realised the severity of what we were going to go through.
Because you can always get rid of like the Carabao Cup games just to speed up the season.
If we was to progress into the summer months, maybe next season we could drop the cup competitions. Although we wouldn't have any gimmicky names to come out with, would we? That would ruin half.
Because we'll be in the championship, Jared. That's why.
Yeah. I was about to say that. If we're promoted, obviously there is no Carabao Cup. If we are still in League One, I'm a big fan of that competition because it provides a platform for our youth academy players. You have to give a pathway for the players coming out of the academy. And so it's a more natural step than being thrown straight into a league game.
He did sway us slightly when we had him in the studio. For that reason alone, the youth academy, it gives them a chance to get first team minutes, don't it? And that is vital, isn't it?
Yeah, and they can use those to build their experience and talents and then parachute straight into the first team for real matches in the league, real league matches.
Well, I've got one more question for you, Jason. Do you listen to Dara's podcast?
So I listen to Dara a lot, so I feel like I get <with Dara. laughs> But I will commit to listening to his podcast. And please make sure that's otherwise I'll never hear the end of it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Yellow Block. Thanks to Jason for joining us again and setting this all up on Zoom, because we had no clue what we were doing at all.
Really enjoyed being on this podcast. And again, I think we're all grateful that you keep these going. I think it's really important for the community. And I will be happy to come back when we are promoted.
That's brilliant. Thank you so much for that, Jason. Thanks for taking the time out to come on the podcast.
Pleasure anytime. Stay safe.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Take that Sunderland shirt down. Get that garb.
The Matt Letizia signed shirt. Do you want to know a funny story?
Go on.
So I was thinking of getting involved in Peterborough, buying into the club. And concurrently, my brother runs the retail for Southampton. Okay, so he's responsible for all retail activities. And so Barry Fry phoned the club secretary of Southampton and said, can you get this guy who's thinking of investing in Peterborough, a signed Matt Le Tissier? And that message went to my brother. And my brother phoned me up and said, are you thinking of buying into Peterborough, like you said? Actually, the shirt was coming before it was given to me.
That's a typical Barry Fryer story. Superb. Thanks again, Jason.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Enjoy your evening.
Cheers, mate.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks to the contributors, all the questions we've had on Twitter and Facebook and other forums. Follow us on Twitter at The Yellow Block. Like us on Facebook, Facebook.com/The Yellow Block. And tune in next time on iTunes, Acast and Spotify.
I really want to know if you actually chose that wallpaper or whether you bought the house and it was, or whether your wife decided to put that wallpaper up. Come on, just tell us now before we start.
It's it was my wife's decision, nothing to do with it. I have no interest in any decor or anything like that. But I'm glad you like it anyway, Jason. Thanks for that. And
I love it. I'm just wondering where I can buy some from.
Now you've dissed the wallpaper, I'm going to tell everyone that that is indeed a Sunderland shirt. Pardon me, you posh one behind there.
It's a Southampton shirt.
Right.
It's inscribed by Matt Le Tissier, so how can it be a Sunderland shirt?
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.